You know, how many of you want to experience God's best? That's what I want to talk about tonight, keys to experiencing God's best. Actually, as we look at this, I want to look at the history of Israel a little bit. And remember in Romans 15:4, Paul was writing, and he says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, and we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, the New Living says it like this: "Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled." You know, most of us know that, you know, the history of Israel. They had some godly kings that led them into, you know, following God. And they had some wicked kings that led them away from God. And in their disobedience and rebellion, eventually they were taken into captivity. And it's in this setting that God speaks through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now, in several of the commentaries, and I like Adam Clark commentary pretty good. He speaks a little bit more to the common man. He says here that God is giving a severe rebuke to Israel against all of their rebellion and their corruption. And he's exhorting them that if they will come into repentance and reform, things are going to change. Now, here we see that he gives them the specifics for eating the good of the land. It says in Isaiah 1:19, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." I want you to notice two words: willing and obedient. That's when you're going to get the blessing. In other words, you know, we're not talking about just having a one-time experience. We're talking about continually having the blessings of God in your life. The key to that is willingness and obedience. Sometimes you see some people one and not the other. No, it's both of them. It says, if you're willing and obedient. It just doesn't say if you're willing. It just doesn't say if you're obedient. It says if you're willing and obedient. That's the keys right there. You know, my father, Kenneth E. Hagin, many of you probably have heard him or read his books or maybe heard a tape. Looking at this crowd, you probably started out with tapes. Now we're into CDs and now we're into MP3s and so forth and so on. I go all the way back to the old reel-to-reel recorders. Probably I got somebody out there that goes with me back there then, because I used to have to put the tape on the recorder and Dad set it over here when Dad out preaching when I was a teenager, helping him in the meetings so we could record his messages. But you see, in his mini book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity, he tells about when he left the church there in Van, Texas, middle of my third grade year in school, and which was about 25 years ago. Oh, y'all laughing a little bit. I don't know how long ago, I graduated from high school about 50 years ago, so I don't know when it would have been. Anyway, he talks about going out into the traveling ministry. And I lived it with him. you know, we didn't have nothing hardly, and car wore out, clothes were wearing out. We lived in a little 3-room apartment, and so he was, and he talks about in this book, if you want to read this whole story about it, in How God Taught Me About Prosperity, a little mini book, it's probably out there. And so he began to pray, and he said, listen, he said, God, you told me to leave the church, and I did. I'm out here. I'm doing what you told me to do. But things are horrible. And so he asked God, he said, listen, I read in Isaiah 1:19, if you willing, obedient, eat the good of the land. I left, and I'm obeyed you. And the Lord told him, said, yeah, you obeyed me, but you weren't willing. You're doing it because I asked you, you have to do it, but you're not willing to do it. And I remember him coming home. He'd been off somewhere preaching. He come home and told us about this. And he said, it didn't take me long to get willing. And things begin to change. You see, you can be obedient but not willing. Or you can be willing to, but not obedient, not doing it. It takes it. Being willing is the first key to experience God's best. He said, if you're willing. The New English Translation says, if you have a willing attitude. The New International Version says, if you're willing. And New Living Translation, if you only obey me and let me help you, then you'll have plenty to eat. See, being willing speaks of an attitude or a frame of mind. You know, we have to have a willing attitude. You know, there have been many of us as we're growing up, we obeyed what our mom told us to do. But we didn't do it willingly. Come on now, don't look at me like that. I know I'm not any different from some of the rest of you. Mama say, Kenneth Wayne, take out the trash. Well, I said, okay, and I continued doing what I was doing. Finally, she'd say, Kenneth Wayne, and I didn't wait for her to get the last name out because I knew right then it was up. When she got a hold, when she used both of my names, how many of y'all know what you're talking about? When mama used both of your names, man, you better be moving, and you better be moving in a hurry. I was obedient to take the trash out, but I wasn't willing. And some of you look at me, don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Being willing is a frame of mind, an attitude. You see, you know, when it comes to giving, we just received an offering. And in the Paul says in the NLT, you must each make up your own mind how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who is cheerful. See, God wants somebody that's willing to give, but he also wants somebody that's obedient to give. See, you can be willing to give your money, but you're not giving, and you're still not going to get the blessing. Or you can be giving grudgingly. Okay, I know I got to give, so I'm going to give an offering. That's not willing, and you're still shutting the door to the blessing. Sometimes people obey God, but they're not willing. I heard somebody say, well, I know I got to read the Word of God, so I'm going to read it. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. Well, they might as well not even read it. Come on. Because they weren't willing to read. They were reading it out, being obedient to something, but they weren't willing to it. It's both willing and obedient, or doing. In the case that we're just talking about giving there, it's both being willing and giving. That's when the blessing comes. See, you know, many people are obedient to come to church, but they're not, they're obedient to come to church, but they're not willing to use their talent to work in the church, to help the church go. Hello now. You don't have to. You know, I don't have to read a book to find that out. I've been in this all my life. My dad was a pastor, and when I was 3 and 4 years old and five, my duty was to, as soon as church was over, start picking up trash and putting songbooks back where they belong and so forth and so on, because nobody else was willing to do it. So the pastors had to do it. You see, there's a lot of people that are obedient to come to church, but hey, they're not willing to do anything, use their talents that they have. You know, willingness is our attitude. Obedience is our action. Now get a hold of that. Willingness is your attitude. Obedience is your action. And we have to be both willing and obedient to get the blessing. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. God said it. Isaiah said it in his writings. You know, unwillingness limits us in the blessings that God can give to us. He wants to give us blessing, but our unwillingness to do what the Word of God tells us to do causes the blessing not to come. Man, y'all are quiet in here tonight. maybe I ought to start all over and preach on something different. No, that's what the Lord said to do. You know, Jesus stood on the hill outside of Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Matthew 23:37, if you don't know where that is. See, the Israelites, the people in Jerusalem, they were unable to recognize their opportunity because they were unwilling to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Life is a series of choices. Amen. And they either take us forward into the things of God, or they take us backward into our old lifestyle. And it's our choice. We make the choice. Our attitude is not determined by our circumstances. Our attitude is determined by our choices. You can willfully choose or you cannot choose to obey God. See, everyone has an opportunity to have an unwilling or a willing attitude. It's your choice every day. It's your choice every day. But the attitude of willingness is necessary to receive the best of God's promises from His Word. You know, some people will say to you, "Say, well, I'm sure I could have a good attitude if I had your circumstances." Well, hey, wait a minute. I don't have good circumstances all the time either, but I choose to be willing. Chuck Swindoll said this, and I want you to get a hold of this. I'm going to read it slowly. I want you to listen. "The single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It's more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, circumstances are my position. Attitude is that single string that keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitudes are right, there are no barriers too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me." Now that's a mouthful right there. It is possible to cultivate a willing attitude. Just stay willing to do whatever God says do. You see, I came to work for this ministry, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. We didn't have Rhema at that time, in 1972. I left a position in which I was associate pastor at the church of my father-in-law. I was the successor to be in line when he decided to step down. I was highly involved in everything that was going on, preaching, helping run stuff and everything. And now I come to the point that the Lord asked me to come to work. You know, I had to get willing before I could be obedient. Many times that's the key. You have to be willing before you're ready to be obedient. I'd been asked several times to come, and my wife will tell you, I didn't want anything to do with it. And I was my dad's son, and that's the way I was introduced, Kenneth Hagin's son. And then I was with my father-in-law down there, and I get introduced as V. Tipton's son-in-law. But it was easier down there because I could start to carve my own path, and I was. Underneath him, you know, I was just somebody in the background. I was just his son. But I finally was willing and obedient, and I came. Now, it looked like a step backwards. See, sometimes when you become willing and obedient, it may look like you're going backwards, but no, you're going forward, because I could not be where I am today if I hadn't been willing and obedient just to come and load the stuff up and go out on and set up the crusades, work with all of the auditoriums and sign all the contracts and make sure all the insurance was in place, make sure all the books and tapes got loaded and got there, make sure everything was set up, get up and do announcements and sit down. And I've been preaching at least once a week, sometimes twice. And now all I'm doing is loading and unloading the vehicle, setting up sound systems, making sure all the chairs are made, making sure the ushers are ready, making sure all that stuff goes, and then get up, make a few announcements, and sit down. You know, in fact, all my buddies, my preaching buddies, then I went to school with and everything, they all said, Hagin, you took a back seat. You went backwards. But if you go today and look at where I am and where they're at, it's a whole different story. Now, what am I saying? You've got to get willing and then be obedient. That's the second key. Now, you know, in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord. I want you to notice that he's talking to the children of Israel here. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. I want you to notice that when they were diligent to obey, be willing and obedient, the blessing shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. It didn't even say you're going to have to plead for it. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It said it if you're obeying this. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully keep his commandments that I give to you today, the Lord Well, God will set you on high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. See, sometimes I think we get distracted by other things, by somebody else teaching something. Paul said, if anybody comes teaching anything different than what I've taught you, count it a curse. Let it go. See, anytime anybody's teaching anything against the Word of God, then you need to forget that. You know, I heard a guy, and he said, well, now this is, he read a verse of Scripture, and he said, this is what I think about this Scripture. This is my understanding of this Scripture. Well, wait a minute. Since when did he need him to expound on what he had said? I believe God said what he meant what he said, and if we'll believe it, then we'll experience the blessing. Amen. That's just the way it is. You know, now, there are some people, and they get satisfied with where they're at. Because, I mean, they have believed God, and they've obeyed God, and so they get to a place that's pretty good life, and they're doing good, and they don't pursue anymore. God always has more for you than what you have right now. God wants to bless you more than you've been blessed up to this point. Thank God for what he's done for us. But hey, there's more. You know, I use this illustration all the time. People have heard me use it many times, and a lot of you can agree with me because y'all probably been there. My grandma and grandpa, my mom's mom and dad, they had the farm, and he left that and became a guard at the cotton mill when I was about, 6 years old, I guess. Maybe 7. But we'd go to their house. Dad would be out preaching somewhere. That's when he was traveling. But see, Dad only pastored 3 churches that I remember, and he pastored 1 before he ever got married. Him and Mom got married when they got married while he was pastoring there in Tom Bean. And then that's where but we'd go there, and Grandma always had a bunch of people come to her house on Sunday afternoon for lunch and dinner, or we call it dinner. It was breakfast, dinner, and supper. Anybody remember when it used to be breakfast, dinner, and supper? Anyway, any of y'all ever been where those farms, they got the big old round table, and it's got a deal in the middle that spins around with stuff sitting on it? And you didn't have, back in that day, back when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you didn't have all the restaurants you have today. People went to different people's houses on Sunday morning, on Sunday after church, and they would eat together. Anybody remember that? And so we'd be there, you know, and one of the dishes would get really low, maybe the mashed potatoes or the corn, and she always had at least 2 meats. There's always chicken. Always chicken. And then, you know, pork chops or ham, you know, and then sometimes there'd be a beef dish. But most of the time it was chicken and pork. And then there'd be maybe at least 3 different kinds of vegetables. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know. And then real biscuits. Not them out of the can. Those are about that big around, about that tall, you know. And then the butter was a real butter, because I helped to churn it. Any of y'all ever churned butter? Oh, I got some friends in here tonight. Some of y'all don't even know about that, do you? All you kids over here, you don't know about that. The Bible says, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, and so somebody was starting, and they just take a little bit because the bowl was getting right down close to empty. Said, oh, go ahead and take them all. There's more where that came from. Let me tell you what. I don't care how many blessings you got from God. I don't care how much he has blessed you. There's more where that came from. His supply is unending. But the only way the supply line is cut off is when we are not willing and obedient. Sometimes we begin to compare ourselves to somebody else as the standard when God is the standard. So, some people, though, if it gets difficult and they're trying to obey God and it gets difficult, they shut down. Now, that's when you're supposed to push on through. You know, obedience translates into two types of action. When we're obedient to say the right thing according to the Word of God, and when you do what the Word says. Hello? Amen. See, part of saying the Word is part of it. But the other part is action. If you believe something strong enough, you'll act like it's so, whether you even see it yet or not. You see, how many of you have ever worked at a job and the supervisor or the boss, whoever, came by and said, hey, on your next paycheck, you will see X amount of dollar increase. Anybody ever had that happen? I've seen people have that happen. And they go home and they tell the wife and they go out and they say, okay, we can buy that new couch. And they go down and they buy a new couch. And they've never seen a penny of that money yet. They're acting on what they believe that was told them. If we will be obedient and act on what God has told us in His Word, the same thing will happen to us. Amen. See, you know, the word obedience is not a word that we put on the bathroom mirror so every morning when we're combing our hair, if you do. Sometimes some of these hairdos, I wonder if somebody combed it or not. Obedience is not a word that you put up there. Or some used to in some years gone by, we'd call it a refrigerator word. Anybody remember when we used to stick notes on a refrigerator, especially for the teenage kids when they're coming home from school, because we knew that's the first place they're going to go when they come home from school is to that refrigerator. Maybe you were one of those too. I had to go. You see, it's not a word that we really like because it requires something of us. Another way to say it is it demands something of us. You know, James says it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. Joshua says it, not James, Joshua. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all is written in, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. This verse tells us to study and meditate on the Word of God. And then be diligent or observe to do. New Living says, sure to obey. You see, it's not only reading the Word, meditating on the Word, that gets you the eating the good of the land. It's doing what the Word says to do. My dad used to say to people, they'd come, he'd say, well, act like the Word is true. Act like the Word is true. When you obey the Word, then you can be and will be successful. And now James says this, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If you, you know, New Living Translation says, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. These verses tell us not only to hear, but to be obedient in doing. Willing and obedient. Say it. Willing and obedient. Will position me to receive all the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? It's time for us to check up on ourselves and make sure that we are willing and obedient, because that's when we will eat the good of the land. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word. Father, we've talked to these people for a few minutes about not only being obedient, but being willing. And I pray, Father, that each and every individual would take whatever part of this message that was needed for them and use it in their life to make the adjustments to receive the full benefits of your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to preach. I don't give an opportunity to somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate themselves to God. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray for you and with you. So just let me see your hand. Anybody in the place, anywhere. Well, praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. Tonight is the night we have chosen for communion. The Bible doesn't say when you're supposed to take it. It just says often as you do it. Many people do it every church service. Many have a set Sunday like us that they receive communion. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. If they would come now and prepare to pass out the emblems, please hold them till everyone is served. And we will partake together. Praise the Lord. While they're passing the emblems out, they're going to be singing. I want you to be singing with them, worshiping God, thanking God for what he's done for your life. Thank you, Jesus.
And we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It was
we believe in open communion here. If you know you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you to partake of communion with us. I know some places have closed communion, but ours is open to anyone that knows that they've been born again by the blood of Jesus.
Shed light as snow.
Thank the Lord.
Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Thankful for the blood we are.
Thankful for the blood of Jesus. Thankful for the blood of Jesus.
We are thankful for the blood of Jesus.
It washes white as snow.
Thankful for the blood we are.
Thankful for the blood of Jesus.
We are
thankful for the blood of Jesus.
We are
thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
We're thankful for the blood.
We are thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Your precious blood.
Thankful for the blood of Jesus. Thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
You hold in your hand a little wafer that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. A little cup of grape juice that represents His shed blood. His body was beaten and broken for our physical healing. If you need physical healing, as we break this bread now and eat it, say, I take healing. As you partake of this cup, remember how He's forgiven you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. He took stripes on His back for our healing. He died on that cross and shed His blood for our salvation. We thank You for that, Lord. We have a cloth here. Open heart surgery. Let's pray over it. Heavenly Father, I thank You right now. We lay hands on this cloth. Father, I thank You as this surgery takes place. I thank You that everything will be perfect, no malfunctions whatsoever. I thank You for quick and speedy recovery. In the name of Jesus, I thank You for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord.